Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'm so wasted!
I don't know what I'm doing.
I want to go to a good college.
Boy, who needs them?
What a dumb thing to do.
I'm a kid, that's my job.
I'm Jim Burns. When we were kids, our parents knew that, well, they were in for a rather bumpy ride with us as soon as we started adolescence. However, they also understood that as soon as we hit, 17 or 18, we'd outgrow our childish ways, sort of. Well, these days, many studies indicate that the adolescent years begin earlier than age 13, and they often go on longer through, the mid-20s. Well, with adolescence now lasting more than a decade, many parents are wondering if they will have the stamina to see this season through with their kids. Well, during the next half hour, I'll be with Dr. Kevin Lehman. He's one of America's most outstanding family experts, and we're going to discover together how to survive our kids' adolescence. It should be a great conversation, so keep it right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Jim, of course, an APU alumni. So is his wife Kathy, daughter Christy, daughter Becca, and now his producer and co-host. Dropped back into school to work on my Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership through APU, doing the coursework all online. We'll be giving you updates all throughout the year. I highly recommend the program, by the way, if you want to learn more about it. Go to homeward.com or go to apu.edu and you can follow the prompts to take you right there. How do we as parents survive our kids' adolescence? We want them to thrive during that time, but sometimes we just need some practical advice on how we can hold up and make it through. Well, during the next half hour, you're going to get some tips for surviving your kids' adolescence. Here to share those tips is Dr. Jim Burns.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Kevin Lehman is with us. We're talking about surviving your kids' adolescence. Kevin Lehman has written a wonderful new book called Running the Rapids. He has a great video series out that a lot of people are being helped by greatly. You know the name. You've probably been influenced by his incredible books. He's a great speaker, lives in Tucson, Arizona, at least part of the time, also in New York, I'm told. They have five children, ranging from 11 to 31 years old. Kevin, thank you for being with us at Homeward.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
I absolutely enjoy your books. What I love about them is that they're always so practical. And you get to know your family by reading your books. Is your house a place where there's just always something going on?
Our home is a fun home. It's not just a house. It's a home. There's a difference.
Sure.
It's not a hotel. Kids don't get room service and food service. Everybody gives back to the family, if you know what I mean. But one of my daughters said the other night, "Hey, Dad, when are we going to do Three Amigos night again?" We pop some popcorn, watch Three Amigos, sing along with the horses. We have fun in the Lehman family.
That's great.
And we got two kids that are in the hormone group still at home. And I'm near death, and I got a just turned 18-year-old and just turned 12-year-old.
Well, this is perfect because we're going to talk about adolescence today. When did adolescence become so tough? Has it always been tough, or has it gotten tougher?
No, it wasn't tough 300 years ago. There was no adolescence. You were married. Right. You know, your parents sort of found you a nice little filly, and you went and got married and worked on the farm or on the farm next door.
But this isn't 300 years ago, and we've got students today who are struggling with all kinds of issues. What do you think? I mean, is it tougher than 10 years ago?
Absolutely. It's tougher than 20 years ago, tougher than 10 years ago, and it's starting earlier. That's the other tough thing.
Adolescence isn't 13 to 18.
No. It's back around 9. What we know from the researchers is this, that 9 and 10-year-olds think, for example, a lot about sex. 11 and 12-year-olds talk a lot about sex. And you don't want to know what 13 or 14-year-olds are doing, or maybe you do want to know, I can tell you.
Well, I think
it's
our,
not good stuff.
I think our listeners want to know.
Yeah, well, they're having oral sex with each other at school, in other people's homes, when parents are home, in the library, you name it. It's happening.
So every mother who was listening to us just went, What do you say to the mom and the dad to help the kids who are at risk to that kind of behavior to not be so at risk at that behavior?
Well, one of the things I've made clear to our five kids is I would never tell a kid sex is bad. I would always frame sex positively, but in the framework of marriage. I mean, my 12-year-old, I mean, she's just mortified to think that mom and dad still do it.
Yeah.
And I affirm that thought once in a while, and she just rolls her eyes and walks out of the room. And sooner or later, when she gets hungry, she comes back. And then I just pick up the conversation where we left off, because I'm always teaching her about life.
Sure. Well, don't you think that parents have to have a healthy role model in, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to spirituality? Really, it's the parents who do much of that teaching.
Well, it's interesting because I'll be real personal with you. My wife still dresses in the closet, our walk-in closet. She's conservative as they come, and she'll say things, well, if you want to talk with them, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. And she sort of leaves that to me. And if I had a magic wand and could just do things different, I'd say, honey, listen, you got to pull in here. And I'm mentioning this only because I know there's a lot of other families who are in that same situation.
Right.
But I don't care if you're together or apart or somebody's better talk turkey to your kids about sex and about relationships and about this whole hormone group, as I call it.
What age do you start doing that? We're talking about adolescents today, but obviously you've got to talk to them before they go to Inspiration Point, not while they're at Inspiration Point.
Oh, let me share a story I told on Good Morning America in one of my weaker moments. We were talking about life, and we're talking about this concept of modeling and the fact that sex education, for example, certainly ought to be a natural phenomenon. Well, one morning, how do I say this on your program? I was going potty. That's a nice way of saying it.
Potty is okay on homework.
Yeah, and I neglected to close the door. Well, my then 3-year-old daughter comes in to John, and she catches me, Jim, how do I say this? Midstream might be a real good term. And she points her finger upward, and she says, what's that? So being quick thinking, I said, that's Daddy's watch. She said, no, not that, that! Well, much to my wife's chagrin, I told her it was Daddy's penis. And she said, do I get one of those? 3 years old. Mm-hmm. I said, no, honey, unfortunately, you're not lucky enough to have one of these. Only Daddy and your brother get one of these. Now, as funny as that sounds, I'm telling you, as a parent, in those embarrassing moments in life, you have a choice. Either to be mortified and hang your head and tell a kid by way of your non-communicative behavior that you've just touched a real sore spot here. Mm-hmm. This is someplace you don't go.
Right.
Or you take a deep breath, laugh about it later, and do the best you can. But I'm going to teach my kids that sex is a wonderful gift from God. And in this book I've done, Running the Rapids, I equate the fact that so many parents will take that kid and they'll put him in the white water, they'll put him in the raft, and they'll sort of sail him down the river.
You're right.
With predictable results of chaos, death, drowning, you name it. And you can't do that, parents.
Yeah.
If you were going to get on a raft and do whitewater rafting, as an adult, you wouldn't get on that raft unless you had a guide. And you had great faith in that guide. Mm. And that's the role of the parent, to be the guide. Mm. And hey, parents, don't back off. We know a little something about life. We've got a few stripes on our sleeve. We've earned them. Mm. We've got a few gray hairs, some of us.
What do you say to the parent who says, that's all fine and well, but I had no one talk to me about sexuality when I was younger, and now you're expecting me to talk to my kids, and yet, you know, I blew it when I was younger. So I'm not going to say anything to my son or daughter. And if they ask me, did you blow it, mom or dad? You know, what am I going to say?
Let me tell you, Burns, boy, what I like about you. I like the fact that you don't dodge things and you come right after it. And those are the kind of questions, parents, you have to take to heart. A lot of us have done things in life we wish we could retrace, retread, and do over again. Unfortunately, that's not how life should be. I said in one of my books, if God wanted the other person to know how we were thinking, he would have given us glass foreheads. And I think you have to protect your own privacy when kids ask you tough questions. No, you don't tell your kids everything you did in life, for obvious reasons. But the point is, that doesn't get you off the hook from talking to your kids. You want to talk to your kids about life, get on the interstate. It's a great place to talk to kids because you can look out the window as you're driving and talking to your 11-year-old daughter or son. And for your 11-year-old daughter or son, they can look out their side window saying, I can't believe this conversation. And there's no stoplights, no stop signs. They can't get out of the car. You got a captive audience. And you give them those commercial announcements.
Right.
And you share with them from your heart. Kids take their cues from us parents. Perfect example. I'm driving my 15-year-old daughter to school one day. And I tell her, I said, Hannah, you know, I gotta hand you a compliment. I tell you, I was thinking about you the other day, honey, and you know what? You've already made some great decisions in life. You're only 15. I noticed some of the kids you hang out with really nice kids at that school, and you don't hang out with those little sleazeballs. Now, that's the term I use, sleazeballs. I said, honey, I'm not blind. I see how some of those kids dress. But, you know, I look at you. You always look nice. You're modestly dressed. You care about how you look. You know, my hat's off to you, sweetheart. I can't wait to just sit back and see what God has in store for you in life. Now, in there is the commercial announcement that old dad, senile as he is, notices that you're doing life well. And parents, if you've read all those How to Give Self-Esteem to Kid books, most of them make great kindling on a November evening, by the way. But what you just heard fat little Lehman just say to his daughter makes all the difference in the world. I'm affirming her. I'm expecting the best of her. And that's the self-esteem. That's the takeaway. And this is what parents need to understand. Brand new study I ran across that says that given teenagers a choice of who would you like to hang out with, guess what? They want to hang out at their home and with guess whom? Their parents.
That's a fascinating point, and parents need to hear that because a lot of times the kids aren't saying that. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Kevin Lehman. We're talking about surviving your kids' adolescence.
And that's a fascinating study, Jim. I know that when MTV, of all people, actually commissioned that study, they were as shocked as anyone else to find out that the number one answer in that poll conducted by MTV was that kids wanted to hang out with their parents. That's just one of the things that we have to keep in the back of our minds as our kids are going through those adolescent years, which now extend into the early 20s, by the way. This is not just a 15, 16, 17-year-old phenomenon. Today on Homeward, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking with Kevin Lehman about these tips for surviving your kids' adolescence. More in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I mean, I know I blew it, but then I had to hear about it from Mom.
Oh, that's always fun. Besides, you never know when nice Mom or mean Mom is going to show up.
Seriously. I mean, it's bad enough that I got in trouble, but I'd rather be, like, grounded for another week just so I didn't have to sit through another one of her lectures.
If you're a parent, you may not feel as though what you say to your children has much impact on them. Well, believe me, it does. When a child messes up, she's already going to be feeling a little down, so make sure she knows that it's what she did that upset you and that you're not rejecting her in the process. After all, we're trying to correct behavior without crushing character here. So choose wisely the words you use when interacting with your kids. The kind of relationship they have with you will determine the way they interact with everyone else they meet in this life. For a free copy of my tip sheet called 10 Ways to Correct Behavior Without Crushing Character, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Kevin Lehman is with us today. We're talking about surviving your kids' adolescence. If you've been listening to this conversation, you can tell it's pretty blunt, but yet unashamedly Christian. Something as parents, we need to understand that we are role models and we can be positive role models. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to bring up issues that will even embarrass us, but we've got to do it because, well, it's going to help your kids make right and wise decisions in the long run. Kevin, we talk about parent involvement, and that is so key, but there's also peer pressure. And a lot of people talk about negative peer pressure, but there's also positive peer influence. Talk about the influence that kids have on other kids.
Well, they have profound influence on other kids, for sure. There was a UCLA study where they had kids come in, and they simply had to identify the longest line of three lines that were flashed on a board. The problem is 9 of the 10 kids in groups of 10 were in cahoots with the experimenters, and so the kid always picked the second longest line. And the other 9 would go along with it 75% of the time, even though they could see it was wrong.
Not amazing.
So
yeah.
It's really important to understand there is such thing as peer pressure. Be careful.
Yep.
But You neutralize that by having what I call home games, okay? And that is, have the kids hang out at your house. It costs you pizza and maybe if you can find a decent movie to show them, a DVD or something, so be it. But at least they're in the home and see who the kids are hanging out with. And you start that early. But it's healthier to make the home the centerpiece. That really does make a difference.
I agree. For another reason, it's because parents then get to know who these kids are and who's influencing
Our kids are always surprised that their friends like us.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? In your book, Running the Rapids, you've got 20 rules for surviving your kids' adolescence. We won't get to all of them. But the first one's pretty basic, but pretty important. And I thought you had great things to say about it. Follow through. What does that mean?
Well, number one, it just says if something's going to happen, you make sure it happens. And don't pinch yourself in the corner. All right, now I've had it. All right, there's no more of that for life. For life. Do you understand me? We come up with these stupid things, you know. So following through, being consistent, having them know who you are is really important because I am going to be a healthy authority over my kids.
Consistency even with discipline is key. If you're going to discipline it, do it.
Well, yeah, but people don't understand how to discipline a kid. Yeah. If your kid's smart mouth to you at age 9 or 10 or 11, 12, 14, whatever, wait for the teachable moment. And it might be 3.5 hours later when they need to be driven someplace where they need to go. And that's where I say, hey, I'm sorry, the car's not going anywhere, neither are you. What do you mean I've got to be there? Hey, I don't feel like driving anywhere. Turn your back on your son or daughter. Now listen to what I'm saying. Turn your back on them and walk away. Two things will happen. A, I guarantee you, this is a Midas muffler guarantee of psychology, the hormone group person will follow you because they know that you're upset and they're scrambling like an NFL quarterback on a Sunday afternoon. And let them work you a little bit and just sort of tune them out. And sooner or later, they're going to come, well, you're mad about this morning, aren't you? Well, yeah, I'm still upset. And they'll apologize. And as soon as they apologize, they can see themselves at that event. Now, parents, this is what discipline's all about. You stick to your guns without shooting yourself in the foot, as I call it. And after they say, hey, I'm sorry, Mom, I shouldn't have said that. Honey, I'm glad you can say you're sorry. That's really important. Come on, Mom, we got to, honey, I told you, the car's not going anywhere, neither are you. That's discipline.
Now, what do you do in a situation when they want to argue? Do you argue back with them?
Well, you have to understand, Jim, that arguing, whether it's with your wife or your 11-year-old, is an act of cooperation. It takes two people. So you tell them once, you turn your back, you walk away. It's like the umpire at second base in a ball game. Makes a close call. People want to argue. The good umpire always walks towards center field. And if you chase that umpire, he's going to ring you up. He's going to throw you out of the ballgame.
So what you're saying is no argument. Just don't do it.
Right, because you're training up. The scripture says train up a child. Most parents don't train up anything, let alone their child. They train them down.
Talk about that.
Well, you're walking in a store. You got your 9-year-old and 11-year-old, and you're the mom now. You're walking in a supermarket. Every mom stops and has a little talk. You want to hear the talk? All right, listen up. No running around, no fooling around. Don't ask for any candy or treats because the answer is no. Hey, you just keep your hands to yourself. Do you understand me? Listen, I about had it with you. Do you want to go to the car? It's 8 degrees. Do you want to go to the car? I'll tell you, we say stupid, dumb things to kids.
Yeah.
But see, the expectation is negative.
Right.
So we don't train up a kid, we train down a kid. In the way he should go, by the way, parents, doesn't mean the way you think he should go. It speaks specifically of how God would have your kid go. As the author of the Birth Order book, I'm here to tell you, firstborns go one way, second children go another way, babies walk around with their underwear in their back pocket. We're different.
If you're going to train up a child, how do you do it positively? Let's take the illustration of the store. Your kids are going to want candy. They are going to want to get their hands in something. They are going to run around. What do you do?
The kids are hedonistic little suckers, okay? And they're unionized. So they work sometimes in tandem. But this goes back to an earlier point. If you say no, become kid deaf. They're great at being mother deaf or dad deaf. And if they bring it up again, you've answered it once. There's no sense in answering it again.
Yeah.
And give them the look. Give them the look. The look that says, hey, we've had this conversation. And take a walk away and continue shopping. Mm-hmm. It's very matter of fact. The more you do things matter of fact, the better off you are. When you get into a power struggle with your kid, you're always going to lose. Whether it's in church on a Sunday morning and they're misbehaving in the front row and you're in the choir, or if it's in a public place.
You think that belonging is important. What does that mean, and what are you talking about?
Well, you know, Moonhead Deach and I, I'll never forget it. When we grew up in New York State, and we used to play sandlot everything, football, hockey in the street, baseball in the summertime, but we used to choose up on the bat. And we'd get up, and depending upon where you lived in the country, when you got to the top of the bat, You got very creative. And some people remember a term called eagle claws. And we would start the draft at that point. I'll take Deitch, I'll take Lehman, I'll take Huber. We went through we knew who was the best ones. And then we got down to this kid, Harold. And you can have Harold. No, we had Harold yesterday. You have Harold today. I'm telling you, Jim, we spit on the kid. We mocked him out. Right. He batted ninth in the order, played right field. We dissed him, as the kids would say, in every possible way. And he still came around. Why? Because he wanted to belong. He didn't fit in, but he wanted to belong. And every kid is going to belong someplace. And kids in our big cities belong to gangs out of a perverted sense of love and belonging. So my question to parents is, are you rearing your kids in such a way that they really feel like they belong? And here's the statement that's backed by research, and it's a powerful one. If your son or daughter feels like they belong to your family, they have no reason to act out in any aberrant manner in a psychological sense. That's a powerful statement.
That is a powerful.
Well, how do you get kids to feel like they belong? By giving them things? I'm telling you, I could afford to give my kids, quote, anything they ever wanted in life. I take great pride in not giving them squat diddly jack. They've all had to work. When they went away to college, they were head dorm rats and assistant dorm rats, and you know, they worked on campus and helped foot the bill. That's important for kids to have a piece of the action.
Yeah, and it's important for belonging. Listen, we're out of time, but right now we're going to ask you if you can come back next time so we can keep on talking about this conversation. I've only got about 100 more questions for you.
I'd love to.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. Kevin Lehman here on the Homeward Broadcast. We're talking about tips for surviving your kids' adolescence. I can think of several of them that are listed in Jim's book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. Of course, adolescence is not just a teen phenomenon anymore. Late adolescence actually goes to age 24 or 25. But in Teenology, you'll find the tips that you're looking for. And we'll have more information on how you can get a copy of that book in just a moment. Kevin's written a book called Running the Rapids. And Jim, I think this is so encouraging for parents because it does kind of seem like you're whitewater rafting, kind of going through these crazy areas. And I'm grateful that Kevin is not afraid to take these issues head on. He really just goes after them, and that's why we benefit from his wisdom.
Kevin Lehman is not afraid to go there, and he's not afraid to talk to kids about these important subjects and talk about kids. I appreciate it, frankly. You know, he came into our studio. He was in a cool baseball hat. His plane was late. Here we are sitting there together. He's in short pants and his t-shirt, just being himself, but he talked just like we should be talking to kids.
Right.
Open, blunt, unashamedly Christian. During these closing moments here on Homeward, I want to review just a couple of things that he said. The first tip for surviving your kids' adolescence is watch your expectations. This is a good one. I mean, there is not a parent among us who doesn't want the best for our kids. The trick is to help them set and then achieve their goals for themselves rather than try to live up to our goals for them. And that's a big one. So many kids tell me that their parents have these high expectations or things that they don't want to do. And sometimes we parents do hover a bit, and we've got to watch those expectations, make sure they're not ours, make sure that they're theirs, and help them find those expectations. Another tip for surviving your kids' adolescence is take time to listen. And this is a big part of what I like to call the power of being there. Your presence makes a difference. It's a sign of caring, and it's a sign of connectedness. And listening is one of the greatest languages of love. So listen to your kids, and in doing that, you will show them great honor, respect, and actually empathy and acceptance as well. Thirdly is respect their choices. I know this is not really an easy one. It's a tough one for us as parents. We want our kids to move from dependence on us to independence, and the only way we can do that is to respect their choices. It is just so hard to watch them make a choice that really might not be the best one for them, but kids learn oftentimes through failure. And as you move from dependence to independence, you've got to allow them to, as Kevin Lehman talks about, run the rapids.
And that's a huge tip for us as parents as we want to survive the adolescent years with our kids. And a moment ago, I mentioned a resource that we recommend here at Homeward. It's Dr. Jim Burns' book called Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. Adolescence, of course, extends into the mid-20s now, but those teen years can be critical and foundational. And if you're looking for tips on how you can maneuver a little bit better with your kids through those years, Teenology is an outstanding resource. It's available for purchase in our online resource center today at homeward.com. You can actually buy it anywhere. I mean, wherever books are sold, you'll find Jim Burns Burns books. But when you do order a copy of one of Jim's books directly from Homeward.com, please know that a portion of the proceeds of that sale actually goes towards supporting the ministry of Homeward. So we appreciate the fact that you can find it in other places, maybe used or, you know, for a little less money. But if you do purchase from Homeward.com, please know that a portion of the proceeds of Jim's book purchases go to support the ministry. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.